This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusa. Meghna and Anthony are out today. So when it comes to revolutionary history, Greater Boston has got the market cornered, with the exception of today, Independence Day. After all, July 4th marks the ratification of the Declaration of Independence by the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia. So really, this is Philly's day, right? Not on Radio Boston, it's not. John Marcus, editor of MySecretBoston.com, is here to share some lesser-known Boston Independence Day history and things to do and see. Welcome back, John.
Thanks so much.
So on the subject of things that we thought happened to our South, the birthplace of one of the writers of the Declaration is right up here. It's not Thomas Jefferson, is it?
Benjamin Franklin is actually also associated with Philadelphia, but in fact was born in Boston.
Really?
And if you're down in the financial district and you look up, which people don't do, there's beautiful buildings down there, and you look up at the facade at 17 Milk Street, you'll see the inscription, Birthplace of Franklin, and a bust of Benjamin Franklin. That's where he was born. He lived in Boston until he was 17.
What building is there now?
17 Milk Street. It's not a named building, but it's a beautiful old masonry building on Milk Street.
That's phenomenal. Do we know what kind of structure it was? There was a house there that he was born in?
There was a house that he was born in. It burned down. His mother was a Folger. They were a famous family in Nantucket and ultimately founded in the 19th century the Folgers Coffee Company.
And I have seen where his parents are buried, which is on Beacon Hill.
On the old Granary Burying Ground. Many people think that's actually Benjamin Franklin's birthplace. That's his parents' gravesite that says Franklin in the obelisk. There was actually once a proposal to rename the cemetery Franklin Cemetery, but they turned it down.
So there's another birthplace that we can visit, that of a Declaration signer who I guess we think of as being kind of a big cheater.
Elbridge Gerry, after whom comes the phrase gerrymandering. He lived in Marblehead. He was a signer of the Declaration of Independence representing Massachusetts at the Constitutional Convention. And he was later actually vice president under James Madison, and he was a governor of Massachusetts. But he was most famous for restructuring electoral districts so as to favor the party in power. And his own district that he restructured looked like a salamander. So a newspaper editor called that a gerrymander, and it has now forever been immortalized as gerrymandering.
Okay, now one last house to discuss. This one also home to a Declaration signer, a house occupied by not one but two U.S. presidents?
That's true. Both John and John Quincy Adams lived in the same house in Quincy. Four American presidents were born in Greater Boston. Can you name them?
No.
John F. Kennedy.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. Remember him? And George H.W. Bush was born in Milton.
That's, of course he was.
Most people didn't know that.
Okay, so John, Independence Day marks the signing of the Declaration on July 4th, 1776, but of course, the Revolutionary conflict had really been in effect for some time by then, and there are plenty of other historical milestones that could have just as easily been the peg for Independence Day. For instance, January 1st, 1776, something very important happens on a hill in a little town that we today call Somerville.
That's right. That was the place where the American flag was first introduced on Prospect Hill in Somerville.
Hoisted up for the first time by George Washington, right?
By George Washington, who had taken command of the Continental Army here in Cambridge. Visitors to Harvard Square and Harvard University usually overlook it. Probably the most historic thing that happened there was that was the birthplace of the U.S. Army. Cambridge Common, just across the street from Harvard Yard, is where George Washington took command of the Continental Army on July 3rd, 1775. There were more than 16,000 colonial soldiers who pitched their tents on the Cambridge Common, which was bigger at the time. And the place where Washington actually first addressed them is now the middle of a street. The exact spot looks like a manhole cover in the middle of Mason Street near Garden Street in Cambridge.
Well, George Washington, of course, gets plenty of press, but he's not the only Revolutionary War hero. Take us to the grave of the freed slave who, some would argue, turned the tide of the war?
Yes, it was a black former slave who's credited with killing the British commander at the Battle of Bunker Hill, which turned the tide of the battle. It also turned the tide of the early stages of the Revolutionary War. His name was Peter Salem, and he's said to have shot the British Major John Pitcairn when Pitcairn ordered the American troops to lay down their arms and surrender. And once Pitcairn was dead, the British had no one to follow. They were temporarily stunned, and they gave the Americans time to successfully retreat. Bunker Hill was, in fact, technically an American defeat, but the Americans showed enough sort of gumption and skill that they considered it a victory. Peter Salem is buried in Framingham's old burial ground.
And then there is the woman who masqueraded as a man so she could fight the British?
That's right. Her name was Deborah Sampson, and she is noted for having posed as a man. She called herself Robert Shurtleff so that she could enlist in the Continental Army in 1782. And she was only discovered when she fell ill and was hospitalized, and it was discovered by a doctor that she was a woman. She was, however, honorably discharged. She later married. She was excommunicated from her church, which was the First Baptist Church of Middleborough, but because she had served in the Continental Army, she was entitled to a federal military pension of $4 a month, which she was able to keep for the rest of her life. There's a statue of Deborah Sampson in front of the public library in Sharon, where she died in 1827.
And in addition to her place in Revolutionary War history, she has a place in LGBT history.
That's true. According to her biographer, she was a lesbian. So that was the beginning, I guess, of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Okay. So today is all about the Declaration of Independence, the original copies of which are in Washington at the Library of Congress and the National Archives. But the Constitution, that's a different story.
Yes, there's only 9 remaining copies of the first edition of the Constitution, which, of course, was written in 1787. And it was circulated to the states to stimulate discussion. And one of the very few that remains on public view of those original constitutions is in the John Joseph Moakley Federal Courthouse in the Seaport.
You can just go down and see it.
Go down, go through the metal detector, and you can go and see it for free.
Okay, John, so Independence Day, starting to wind down a little bit. I have my hot dog. I have my pie. I want to find a place to maybe watch the sunset with some beautiful views of the city and contemplate the history of this great nation of ours. Where should I go?
Well, you know, the site of one of the most pivotal moments in American history is, of course, here in Boston, as all great things are. Let Philadelphia keep the broken bell. We've got the Dorchester Heights Monument, which is the site of the really sneaky place where George Washington broke the British siege on Boston by rolling 59 cannon that had been dragged 300 miles from Fort Ticonderoga in New York to what was called Dorchester Heights. It's actually in South Boston. And when the British woke up that morning, they were surrounded by cannon and had to withdraw. It's also a beautiful place to get a great view of the city and the harbor.
John Marcus, editor of MySecretBoston.com. John, happy 4th.
The same to you.
And that's it for Radio Boston today. Tomorrow on the show, Globe art critic Sebastian Smee scours New England for hidden gems in museums you've probably never heard of. How about a Matisse in the Wadsworth Athenaeum? That's tomorrow. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangle@boston.com. I'm Adam Ragusea. Anthony Brooks is back with us tomorrow. Join us again then for more Radio Boston. And have a great 4th.